Our gospel lesson today comes from Matthew 10, 24 through 39. It begins, "Disciples aren't greater than their teacher, and slaves aren't greater than their master. It's enough for disciples to be like their teacher and slaves like their master. If they have called the head of the house," I can't even say the word today, "Beelzebul, it's certain that they will call the members of his household by even worse names. Therefore, don't be afraid of those people, because nothing is hidden that won't be revealed, and nothing secret that won't be brought out into the open. What I say to you in the darkness, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, announce from the rooftops. Don't be afraid of those who kill the body but can't kill the soul. Instead, be afraid of the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Aren't two sparrows sold for a small coin? But not one of them will fall to the ground without your Father knowing about it already? Even the hairs of your head are all counted. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Therefore, everyone who acknowledges me before people, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But everyone who denies me before people, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Don't think that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I haven't come to bring peace, but a sword. I've come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. People's enemies are members of their own household. Those who love their father or mother more than me aren't worthy of me. Those who love son or daughter more than me aren't worthy of me. Those who don't pick up their crosses and follow me aren't worthy of me. Those who find their lives will lose them, and those who lose their lives because of me will find them." Here ends the reading of the gospel. Let's take a moment in prayer, shall we? Gracious God, be with us today and be with these words that were just spoken. May they guide us into the weeks and months ahead, and may they guide us in our discipleship as faithful followers in you. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Let me wipe my nose so I'm not dripping. And the day will go on, right? Here we are. Right? We're here. If you ever looked around, if we did this every Sunday, it'd be amazing, wouldn't it? And there's still some people missing. We'd be out of pews. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? And we'd have to put more chairs up. I wouldn't be upset about that. Well, there's some of you who have come along for the ride with full excitement, and others who said what we are doing will never work. And guess what? It did. The numbers don't lie. But after today, the long ride is over. Paul, you're winning. I'm going to get there. What comes next is up to you. I hope and pray every day for what is to come. And I hope and pray that you continue to let the Holy Spirit move you all into the future. You are all disciples. You all know how to love. You all know how to care for others. And you all know that if you want to continue on, some of the decisions you make might help or hurt your church. That is my advice. But after today, it doesn't matter. But here's one thing that I hope. I hope you all know that I love each one of you. And that is because I know Jesus loves each one of you. And I could end it right there. We could go out the doors of the sanctuary, eat some food, have some great conversation, hug each other, pat each other on the back, and say, good luck. You'll be fine. God is with you. And there are probably a couple of you who are saying under your breath right now, don't let the door hit you in the butt on the way out. Well, I hope for those who do, who are saying that, you realize this. God loves you too. And I still love you. And I hope what your vision is for the church will lead you into the future. But enough about that. Let's get to the bones of it all, right? Let's get to the nitty-gritty. Let's get to the gospel lesson for today. That's why I'm up here, right? Up here to preach my last sermon, right? Oh, you should have. Steph said when I wrote this, she goes, your fingers were pounding pretty hard. I think it took me all of about 30 minutes to pound this baby out. 30 minutes. It'll probably sound like a 30-minute sermon, but that's okay. Today you heard me read from Matthew 10. And what is happening? Well, Jesus is talking to a bunch of nervous disciples, and he is getting them ready for what is coming next. And what is that? He is sending them out on their very first missionary journey. He has instructed them to preach this message that the kingdom of heaven is near, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cleanse those who have leprosy, to drive out the demons. And yet through all this, he mentions something else, which is this: you will not be welcomed by all. Well, this is what he really says. That I'm sending you out like sheep and wolves. He warns them that the authorities will be after them. He warns them that they will suffer both physical and emotional violence. He warns them that people will call them names. And that tells me something right there. First is this, which you have all heard me say thousands of times, that discipleship isn't easy. And when you are one, there is a lot to be afraid of. And I know many of you are probably carrying a bit of fear. What is going to happen to our church? Maybe some of you are saying, what is going to happen to me? There is fear building inside. Maybe it has nothing to do with the church. But here is what Jesus tells us today. Are you ready for it? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of those who kill that body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both the body and soul in hell. Friends, being a follower isn't easy. It was never meant to be easy. The persecution comes from within. The persecution comes from the outside. The persecution comes from all different directions. And we are all also guilty of this persecution. We do it because we want it to hurt. We do it because in our minds we think it feels right. We do it because if it happened to us, so we better believe if it does happen to us, we're going to do it to somebody else. When you go home today, take a moment and look in a mirror and ask yourself this question: how does Jesus see me? How does Jesus see me? How does Jesus see my actions in his church? Not your church, his church. Friends, I know each one of us here are faced by different enemies at different levels. I know we have human enemies, those who have the power to kill the body. I know we have a darker enemy who wants to battle for our soul. But here's what else I know. That we have a God. We have a God who loves each one of us. We have a God who isn't there to drive fear into our soul. That we have a God who is willing to take himself to the cross, who is willing to take a beating, who is willing to take a spear into his side, who is willing to hang there for hours, and who is willing to do that all for each one of us. And if that happened to any of us here, we would be so afraid. We would be so lonely. We would just say, take me now because I have nothing to live for. Here's what I'm saying. That we don't need to fear God. And because we don't need to fear God, we don't have to fear anything. It is God who is ultimately in charge. It is God who loves us even when others don't. It is God who knows us. It is God who seeks us out. And it is God who forgives those who are willing. Did you hear that? Who are willing. Who are willing to accept his forgiveness and love. I want you to think about this. That God is the one who takes note of every single sparrow in the sky, the one who counts every single hair on our heads. Well, Pastor, what if I don't have any hair on my head? I'm sorry. Well, the good news is this. Well, then God will count every single cell in your body. Friends, if you haven't figured it out by now, God wants us to be intimately involved, or God wants to be intimately involved in your life. God does and is loving you that much. In 1 John chapter 4, here's what we are told. Are you ready for it? That God is love. Let's repeat that. God is love. That there is no fear in love. That perfect love drives out fear, all because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears has not been made perfect in love. God is love. I know that many of us here are living into fear. What does the future hold? What will the church look like in the future? I could go on and on. Friends, no matter how hard I try at being a disciple of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, there's one thing I know, and it is this, that I'm still working on it. I know that I've not been made perfect in love. I know that I've not arrived at that place yet. But because of all of you, because of my faith in Jesus Christ, because of what I have learned from all of you over the past 9 years, I am further along than I've ever been before. Others can see it. People proclaim it. Some want to deny it because I don't do what they want. Let me remind you of something, though. This church is not your church. It's God's church. And I do what God asked me. I do what Jesus asked me. And I do what the Holy Spirit guides me to do. And I do that because I do trust completely in the love that God has for us. I trust completely in the love that God has for every other human being in this church and beyond these walls. Because that is what drives out fear. Knowing that God loves me, knowing that God loves our neighbors, knowing that I'm constantly working toward that thing called Christian perfection, because that is what I am striving for. Because that is what every disciple sitting here today should also be striving for. That perfect love. It has never been about God being out to get us. Because that manner of thinking drives fear into us. Friends, if we allow ourselves to fear other human beings, we will be allowing fear, not love, to control our lives. And that is not what Jesus wants. We don't want fear to paralyze us. We don't want fear to get in the way of us being called as followers. We want love to be at the forefront. We want love to shine through. Friends, don't be afraid. At annual conference this past week, I had many people come up to me and ask me some questions. I was asked more questions about the move, which I'm sort of getting sick of, honestly. You know, yeah, it's happening. I was asked, how did I do what I did in Motley United Methodist Church? And I said this. The growth in Motley was built by one thing, which is this. Focusing on the mission of the church. Did you hear me? Focusing on the mission of the church. And what's that mission? To make disciples for the transformation of the world, right? And I believe that if more churches lived into that mission, the results would be the same. And I also said this, that what you have done here was built on one thing and one thing only, which is the hardest thing we have to do as disciples. The hardest commandment of all. Love your neighbor as yourself. And you did just that. You see, pastors will come and go. You remember, there's a pastor sitting out here who came and went many years ago, right? Pastors will bring their own ministry. Some are good, some are not so good. And wherever I fit into that scenario, I don't really care. But I want you to know this, that you all are a beloved disciple of God. And my kids are making me laugh now. And every person that has come into this congregation has changed the structure, the tradition, and the history of this church. You all have to realize that. Every new person that has been added or became a part of this congregation has changed this congregation. And that is a great thing. What the church was 20 years ago, what the church was 9 years ago, is not what this church is now. And guess what? It's okay. It's okay. So as I end, I ask you all to remember this, that you are all called, that you are all loved, and no matter what, keep doing the good work that Christ has called you all to do as disciples in Christ's holy church. Amen? Amen? Amen. And for the love of God, amen.